Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors for this episode. They are Carefree Breed. For more information or to buy, check it out on Amazon or Walmart.com, or you may find it at your local grocery store or CVS. And BetOnline. Visit BetOnline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Be sure to check out the episode's notes for more information on our incredible sponsors.
Podcast One presents House of Kim with Kim Zolciak-Bierman. Join Kim, her husband, and six children as she shares her journey to success and the positive mentality that brought her there. Come on in and make yourself at home. Now, here's your host, Kim Zolciak-Bierman.
Hi, you guys. Welcome to this episode of House of Kim.
Hello, hello.
What's popping, you guys? First of all, I feel like I can hear myself breathe in the microphone right now.
It's fantastic.
And we just finished watching Garth Brooks was it Netflix?
Yes.
And you could like hear them swallow or like the spit on their teeth.
Yeah.
It was so incredibly clear, which I felt like actually was good instead of like that annoying kind of clear.
You feel like you're in the room with them. You feel like you're having a real conversation with them.
Listen, why is Garth crying so much?
I don't think anybody could comprehend what that man has experienced or felt in his life. You know, like nobody can compare to his success in that industry. Nobody.
Nobody.
He has broken record after record for ticket sales and filling venues and crushed records like three times what other people have done. Four times what other people have done. And
how about Garth Brooks had a concert in Central Park where over a million people showed up.
Yeah.
Now listen, I grew up in Connecticut. In case you didn't know, right? I was obsessed with Madonna. Obsessed. Sickly obsessed with Madonna. Like just obsessed with everything about her.
Yeah.
I loved Richard Marx. I loved was it the Nelson brothers? They were identical twins or whatever. I liked Milli Vanilli, but you guys know they all got busted. I loved Salt-N-Pepa. So I had all this, you know, different kind of music. And then when I moved down to Georgia at 22, I heard Garth Brooks' Unanswered Prayers in my car. I don't even know how. And I was instantly in love. And I've been in love ever since. Not like my love for Bret Michaels. Bret Michaels is like, I feel like he would just be like an animal or something. And Garth Brooks is more.
What?
Garth Brooks would take me to dinner.
We're going right back. He would be an animal. What is that? Where? When?
In the bed or something. He would be like, rah. Like, don't you think he'd be wild?
Wait, so you're in love with Bret Michaels to the point where you want to be in bed with an animal.
Are you trying to impress Bert?
No.
You're making me hot.
I'm making you hot in the face?
Yeah. No, I just think Bret Michaels is sexy. I think Bret Michaels is sexy, or he was sexy. Like, every girl had, like, a crush on, like, Axl Rose or Slash or Bret Michaels.
No.
Yes, they did. You probably loved Jennifer Love Hewitt or I don't know. Drew Barrymore.
Nobody makes me hot in the face.
I got blushed. You made me flush, babe. I wouldn't go to sleep with him today. I'm married happily.
Of course.
And you're a rock star in the bed.
I'm trying to comprehend this state of mind that you...
Because my feelings are different. They're not... I'm not in love with Bret Michaels.
Like, right.
That's hello.
So what
it's
are
just
you?
A
what
fantasy. So I've not even really wanted to meet him in person because I am so deathly afraid my fantasy of him would just be thrown to the wayside.
What?
He's just... He can sing to me and play the guitar. Like, I love that. We can share wig tips, you know, like shit like that.
No, I am so bothered right now.
Babe, he can sing to me.
I didn't know you. I had no idea. I just right now learned this. You guys, with you that she thought Bret Michaels would be an animal in the bedroom. Literally, I just
I don't
this
even
about
really
right
like
now.
An animal. Like, that's not really my. It's just like a mind frame. It's like a fantasy. It's a fantasy. That's it.
I didn't know you had a fantasy of Bret Michaels being an animal. And like, what?
Well, yes, you did, because you got a shout out. He sent me a video right, for Mother's Day. You guys, I told you.
I thought you had like you liked the guy like for his music. Like, I had no idea that you were in like.
Have you seen what he used to look like?
I had no. I don't want to.
Gorgeous.
Don't want that image. Don't want that image. But
maybe that's why I married a blonde hair, blue eyed man, because I dated only dark headed people prior to you, like dark hair.
Yeah.
You used to talk about how hot Jennifer Aniston was. So relax.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you said she was so hot. Her and then
no,
the
I
other
said
girl, Jennifer
Garner. Yeah, because I watched Alias. I don't know if anybody out there has watched.
Right, and I watched all his fucking videos growing
but
up.
But I never had a fantasy of like, oh, I bet she's an animal. She would just she would just know what to do in the bed. Like, no. I just thought she was
let's
hot.
Go back to this.
Like, I didn't want to
get he's
kicked hot. In the face by her. Like,
well, you know, guys, yeah, no. And I don't want a fucking animal in the bed. That's not really what I'm saying. I just, right. It's, well, I love music.
We're going to put this to bed. I don't want to hear about it again.
Well.
But I had no idea. I am shook.
Right my now. Hairdresser had Bret Michaels showing up to, almost, I guess, showing up to my 40th birthday party in Los Angeles, but we ended up moving it to Atlanta. And I was like, I don't know. He shouted me out like for my birthday a couple years ago. And like, I just, it's a fantasy that is one that I don't want my bubble to be burst.
La,
you know, like,
la,
like
la, la, la,
he's
la.
Had a hole in his heart. He had a stroke. So I feel really connected now that he's older.
You know, you better, your hole just keeps getting deeper. Stop.
The one you stick your fingers in?
No.
Or the other one where your babies came out of?
No. The you're one fucking, that you're fucking digging right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just kidding.
Anyway, so Garth Brooks, I'm talking love. I music to me, a friend of mine one day said this to me, like, music really moves you. And I was like, oh, okay, buddy, sure. But I actually really love it. I love, and I just this past Saturday, I played on my Bose CD player, which is at least 14 years old. It's next to my bed and it's a fucking alarm clock, okay? And I'm keeping it there and it has Garth Brooks in there. And I just started blaring the music and cleaning out my bathroom and trying to get my closet somewhat organized. And I had the best day ever just blaring music. But Garth Brooks, I've been obsessed with him for so long. I love every song. If Tomorrow Never Comes, Unanswered Prayers. I mean, we could go on and on, right? So I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago, Croy's like, hey, you want to meet Garth Brooks? I'm like, shut up, Croy. Like, I'm not playing games with you, right? Like, no. He's like, no, I'm serious. Because we're going tomorrow night. And I was like, what? And so here we go again, right? Girls, feel me out. And I know you understand. You have this vision of somebody that you just love their music. Now, I don't think Garth Brooks is sexy, right? Like, Bret Michaels was so sexy. His eyes are as blue as the fucking ocean, right?
Right.
Like,
that's how he sold. Like, he was the rock star, right?
Yeah,
like,
the rock star.
Do that again, and you will be solo on this podcast.
Yeah, rock star. He's a rock star. And then you have a country singer who if Garth Brooks sang me Unanswered Prayers, there's no telling what I would do.
Well,
okay.
So,
but it's a different kind of.
Right. And I think the movie tells, if you haven't watched it, or not the movie, the docuseries, it's a two-part docuseries on Netflix. It explains, and I think they do a very good job of saying his music is about communication and like he was so popular because what he was singing resonated with the world when he was doing it. He was a little bit ahead of his time on some of those lyrics
right.
and songs that he was singing during the 80s and 90s. But, or I'm sorry, the 80s, he went.
No, it wasn't the 80s. What the fuck?
90s.
No.
Yeah, he started in the 80s. And then on to the 90s. And then he retired during kind of the 2000s
yeah,
and then came
right.
back. But his is about, he was communicating with people. Versus, like, yes, he's an entertainer. He's an incredible entertainer and great voice, but it's more about what he makes you feel.
So listen to this, right?
It's about what he
the
makes
best
you
part
feel.
Of this whole thing, right? So I always like get teary-eyed. I was like, Mom, get a grip. Like if I get a new car, like I'll never forget when I got my Rolls Royce. It was on my vision board. It was a car I've wanted for many years. It was exactly what I wanted. I got a really good deal on it. It was brand new. It was everything I wanted. And I like sat there and cried like, holy shit. Like dreams do come true, right? And I feel very blessed. And sometimes I just look at my kids and get teary-eyed and look at my husband. It's just kind of who I am. So I think that I'm super grateful. So when watching this, I can feel how grateful he is. But it's very interesting. So anyhow, one of my favorite parts of this entire documentary is him singing live, like in the studio. He's never let anybody film him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, he is so fucking incredible. Like, I don't know. It's like, he's captivating, right? He's captivating. So he's not sexy to me, right? Like, he's not sexy. Like, he's not, I never really thought a cowboy was sexy until kind of Croyan came along, but I don't know. That's just me.
I'm on my fall.
You're not really a cowboy, but like, you certainly took me to a ranch on Don't Be Tardy and seen some I don't know, even know what branding a cow was or eating their balls or whatever the fuck you crazy asses do in Montana. But so I don't find him like sexy like that. His music and like just I love it. So anyways, I'm sad it's over. Why is it only two episodes? So I asked my hairdresser today, which I should have just made her stay and do this podcast with us, but I said to her, did you watch it? She's like, yeah, he cries a lot. And I said that too, like he does, he's very, very emotional. Listen, my kids hit me to my core, right? My husband will hit me to my core, like a feeling that you guys know that is like no other. Materialistic items, I'm so blessed, and they still hit me to my core. Like when, I don't know, I just, like the way my life works out 99% of the time is so incredible. And it hits me sometimes like, oh my God, like three boys, three girls. Look at my fucking gorgeous husband. Like I have my own, like all these successful things that I've accomplished in my life. It's never going to be enough for me. I continue to push, but it does get me emotional. So I can understand him crying through a lot of his stuff. He has three girls that are on the documentary too, which they're really sweet. One of them can sing. But he does, he definitely cries a lot.
Well, so what I was saying, right? We hear a song, and maybe it's not from Garth Brooks. It could be any song that
Garth Brooks songs make me cry.
Right, of course they pull at your heartstrings to the point where you're like, man, I was in a situation where this resonates so deep with me that you can feel emotion. Right, he's the one doing it. Like he's the one.
Hometown football game.
He's on a whole nother level.
Do you know that his songs are not on iTunes?
Right.
Why, Garth? Fuck.
He doesn't have to.
He came out with CDs, right? Like, I don't know, a couple Christmases ago. And I got like four sets because people know how obsessed with him I am. Unanswered Prayers. I don't mean to. Am I interrupting you?
No.
Oh. Unanswered Prayers was a song that I heard when I was like 22. And then was going through a divorce at 24. And it was a song that was like, literally, you guys, I'm living proof that some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Right.
When you listen to the words in his songs, every one of his songs, it's so fucking relatable.
Right.
And so, but his voice, you guys, is, you have to watch it.
Right.
If I haven't sold you on watching this, then I'm, but like anything Garth Brooks, I'm into, right? So let me tell you. So Croy takes me. He was meeting with like some of the Falcons players or whatever. So Croy takes me and I'm fucking nervous. And I don't really get nervous like that. Like, I don't really get nervous. But again, I didn't want this guy to be a dick, right? Everybody has a bad day. I didn't want him to be dick to me because then I'd be like, fuck his music. I'm never listening to that shit again. So I was very nervous, honest, and yet so elated. And he was everything I thought he was going to be.
Right.
A gentleman, funny. He had a sweatshirt on. He was chill. He was fucking phenomenal.
Right.
And then during the concert, I don't even know how many times I cried. I love him and Trisha Yearwood together. I think it's amazing. And to do a concert together and to be able to like live that journey. And I'm not going to give all the secrets away, but Garth, you know, ended up staying home with his kids. And like I said to Croy, like that alone would make me like cry. Just I have the blessing of not having to go to 9 to 5 every day. And this morning I had to get up super early and I was like, I can't imagine like every day getting up, doing hair and makeup and like going to work and blah, 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 blah every day. Like So I know that that would make him cry. But there's some things, you guys, that are just... Anyways, he's exactly what I thought he would be. He is phenomenal. I wish this documentary was like 19 more episodes. It's just really about him. His ex-wife is on there that he was with for many years, 10 years or something like that, more than that, whatever. Trish is on there.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do his ex-wife wrong. He hasn't done. I don't, you know, I'm sure we've all done things we maybe wronged people, you know, like, but he's not a bad dude. Like he just, obviously, I don't think somebody who's a bad person would have the level of success that they do. You know, like he just...
Oh, we know some douches that have been successful, but that doesn't last. But yeah,
but not like
he's something. Yeah,
like, and his wife, his ex-wife said it, and she said, or maybe it was Trisha that said it. One of them said it, and she said he hates it.
It really actually matters which one said it, but anyway.
Well, he hates it, but she says there's Garth, and then there's everybody else. Like, there literally is Garth, and then there's just everybody else. Like, no, I don't believe I will ever see in my lifetime somebody reach his level.
So you guys, right? He has like an appearance in Central Park.
Level of success.
He doesn't think anybody's going to show up, right? Because that's just what happens in your mind when you do things, when you do appearances and you do things.
Which
he
got tricked
what,
into doing.
Which he got,
which is hilarious.
Right. Yes. And so he's like, fuck, nobody's going to show up. I'm going to be so embarrassed. It's all over the news. Garth is here, you know, right. Blah, blah, blah. Over a million. You guys, they have like footage of all of this stuff. And it is fucking mind blowing.
He said, "As far as the eye could see, it was people. You couldn't see."
And I think I appreciate this so much more because of COVID, right? Like none of us,
right.
6 months ago, you guys, we would go to concerts and have the best time and never fucking think twice about anybody that was in front of us, behind us, or next to us,
right.
Ever.
Right. Like there was people in that park that couldn't even see the stage that were trying to enjoy. Right. The concert because of the way that it kind of it just unreal. Just I don't know. Unreal.
I've been jamming to his music every day. I love it. I live for it. I love what he stands for. I love. Yeah, you guys have to watch it. Anyways, we totally got off track and.
We did.
Fucking Jesus. But anyhow,
but I think the reason why he gets so emotional is I don't think anybody could ever understand what he has felt. The emotions that he has felt, the energy that he has felt. They said on some of these concerts, when one of them was a Staples Center, and he said it would get so loud from the crowd screaming and chanting, like you could literally, it would reverberate through their soul almost. Where he said it's just, I mean, nobody can experience that unless you're the one experiencing
right.
it, you know. And
right.
it's just so cool to communicate to people that way. But again, I think his success too comes from what we talk about it all the time on this podcast, his vibration. The way yep. that he communicates is a vibration.
You guys
the
will
way
see
that
he always stayed true to Garth.
Right, which is his vibration.
And I think it's so important to remain true to who you are and not let people deter you from that period. You,
right.
We all are different. We all have different gifts and talents and however you want to word it. And if you're not following that gift, you know,
there's been
and honoring what your heart really does tell you.
Yeah,
seriously.
And there's been millions of people who could have been uber successful, and they started their path of success on a certain vibration, and then they changed it. Right? They got the power got to them, or the money got to them, or the people around them got to them, mm-hmm. and it changed their vibration, which then changed their course and path. You have to remember to listen to that internal compass, that vibration that you feel that launched you on the path of the direction that you were going, and stay true to that and just follow your gut. And that's what he did. He followed his gut.
You guys will see he was tested, truly tested
right.
with the NFL. You have to watch it. I want to hear from you guys, Kim at Kim Zolciak, 323-213-8100. I want to hear what you guys think of this documentary. Do you think he cries too much? All right, you guys, guess what? A death in the family and a nose job and a trip to LA cost me four times. A service cost me four times what it should.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that. Tracy Bloom surprised me with the greatest gift. The greatest gift.
I don't know. Well,
it's one of the greatest gifts that she could ever give. You gave me my greatest gifts, baby. But this is... Yeah.
And it just comes in a plain old brown box.
Whatever. Also, you guys, you know the Karen, like everybody's got a Karen in their life. Well, my mom is actually named Karen. And you're not even going to believe what she did. She didn't text me. She didn't text my kids. But she texted my daughter's friend. So stay tuned for that. Lots going on today. Super excited, you guys. We are going to also talk about, are you someone who binges on sex, drugs, and alcohol? Because we do have one of the reasons why. So we're going to talk about that. I said to Nikki, my hairdresser today, like at about 1 o'clock or so, I start drinking my wine, which is, I've always liked my wine at 1 o'clock, yeah. But I drink my wine till 10 o'clock. Like I'm little sips, like maybe, you sure. know, a solo, two solo cups full, which is a whole bottle. And anyways, Nikki's like, I think it's got everybody like that. So don't feel bad. I was like, okay, great. So at 2 o'clock today, guess what I did? Poured a glass of wine. So, but anyways, I definitely think COVID has us all and all confused, like what time it is, what day it is. And it's not okay, Kim, to, you know, drink wine. I drink it like it's a water bottle.
No.
Yeah, like I sip on my wine. I mean, I drink a lot of water, but yeah. So it's always intermittent. But like I sip on my wine, I pour a glass of wine, and I'll drink it over the course of 6 hours.
Right.
Like when I say a glass, you guys, what I mean by that is a full solo cup, which is actually equivalent to two glasses, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Whatever.
Who's counting?
Me. Anyways, I ran out of wine, you guys, and have been completely filled back up. We're going to get into that. What do you want to do first, baby? First of all, let me say this. I have not been on social media as much as I would like to be, Instagram pictures and posts and whatnot, because every time before I post, I think, what comments are they going to say about Ariana or Brielle? KJ's doesn't read Instagram, or none of my littles do, but Croy and I do, and my older girls. And what are they going to say? Is it really worth it to me? Am I in the fucking mood to deal with negativity? It puts me in a bad mood, you know, whatever.
I don't do social media hardly at all. You know, right. Every once in a while I'll do a post for you or birthday or something like that. But other than that, I'm not scrolling every day. I don't look at it. Have you noticed that there might be a little bit more agitation on Instagram just because the world right now is like irritated and agitated and like not in
no, in, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you. So I
like COVID and all that, like jobs, and I mean it's got everybody irritated, I feel like. So they're just going to take out their frustration on strangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just say mean things because they're tired with what's going on. Have you seen that? Maybe
I don't think I've seen an increase or a decrease.
Okay,
I've seen a up until this post. Right. I've seen a big decrease. So, I love my kids. I think my kids are so incredible. I know they're not perfect, but they're so incredible to me. My husband is so incredible to me. My bathing suit, Salty K, is so incredible to me.
Well, that's your job. That's your life. You're supposed to be the biggest cheerleader,
right? So I don't, you know, share a lot of my life out of just, you know, the sheer jealousy that people feel and the anger and they slam the shit out of you. And so I keep a lot of my life to myself,
right?
But I also love sharing so much of it. Right.
Yeah.
Actually this month, my horoscope says to not talk too much. So anyway,
I think when we've talked about this before, you have to know when to share something. Sometimes you might share too soon. Where
I kept Salty fucking K quiet for a year.
Right. That's, oh, yeah.
I kept Cashmere for a year.
Right.
Cab for over a year.
Yeah. No, you're great. It's fantastic.
So one of my other dreams is happening tomorrow. But I'm like, oh, I can't wait to fucking tell everybody. Share with. And Croy's like, why? I'm like, you're right. Let me soak in for it for a minute. And I'm not pregnant because I know everybody keeps going to that because I have baby fever so bad. My baby fever isn't as bad as it was last month. Croy's fucking lucky. Carefree Breathe offers a line of skin-friendly pads and panty liners that go beyond leak protection to keep your skin dry and irritation-free. Carefree Breathe provides irritation-free protection for your most sensitive areas. Clinically tested by dermatologists to meet sensitive skin standards, free from fragrance, dyes, and harsh irritants. Air flush cover with soft touch feel keeps your skin dry. Irritation can be caused by multiple reasons, you guys. If your skin is wet, the friction of the pad or the liner rubbing on your skin obviously causes irritation. Therefore, it's extremely important to have protection that will keep you dry. For light days, reach for the panty liners. And when you need more protection, like me, they have me covered at night, especially with their super and overnight absorbency. When periods happen, stay protected and help prevent feminine discomfort with Carefree Breathe Ultra Thin Pads. For more information to buy or check it out on Amazon or Walmart.com, or you may find it at your local grocery store or CVS. So I have a picture. I'm going through my pictures from the beach, and I want to post a picture of this gentleman. I have very few photos. I had twins. You would never know it because there's not a picture of me in my hospital bed with both kids. One in each arm. I don't have that. I don't have...
Well, that didn't happen.
Well, yes. No. Kane eventually joined Kaya in the room, and we were discharged that night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess. But you were... At that point, you were just wanting to get out and go.
Okay, well, yeah. But yeah. You have a picture of them, both of one in each arm. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So anyway, that's great. So
do I?
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. So here's the thing. I
don't think so.
I wouldn't have one. Yes, they were. Kane came back into the room. They were put in the hospital bed. They were put in the hospital bed for Bravo. So because we didn't want people to know Kane was in the NICU for 24 hours or 48 hours. So he came back and he was put in the thing and everything was cleared and we were good to go. We went home 48 hours after I had them, but
sure.
He was in the room maybe 6 hours. So I'm not invalidating that. But anyways,
sure.
I also had to give birth to twins and then had to take care of Kaya all night because Croy was sleeping. But anyways, so.
That is not true.
That is 100% true.
That is not true.
That is true.
You can't sleep because you're wired because of the medication that you're on. So don't even go there. And I had to work the following day.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
you tore
I
your
did.
Achilles. You were out of work. That's why I'm still mad about it. Okay. So anyway, I'm not mad about it. It's all good. But Corey was just cleared to walk the very day that I gave birth to our twins.
I think I'm sure I had to go to rehab. I know I had to go somewhere.
No.
I'm 99% sure.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. But no. But I will say the 2 days that I had the twins, I came back and my entire house was decorated for Christmas. Outside, inside, everywhere. It's a great gift. But anyway,
we're
getting off track here. So I want to post this picture because I'm not in very many photos with my kids, like just raw photos. The only photos that I genuinely have are ones that Briella or I have taken over the years. And then Corey has been really working on it. Thank you, sweetie. The last year, like, hey, let's get a picture or whatever. Or do you want a picture with the kids?
I think every guy can relate to me. Like, unless you're a millennial that's like always on their phone. Like, I don't take pictures. Like, Brielle, like her friends, they're never not on their phones and they're never not taking a picture or snapping a video. Unfortunately, that's just not me. I you know.
It needs to be. Because our kids are never going to even know what I look like.
Not true.
Anyhow, so this gentleman, so I'm like messing around with the kids and I was, I have some tons of exciting stuff going on for kids. And so I wanted to like play around with them and photos and stuff on the beach. And so this gentleman was like, hey, do you want me to grab a picture of you two? And I was like, hell yeah, thank you, God. And there, you know, was very few people that walked by. So it was so nice of him to offer. So anyways, I just thought it was a cute photo, right? But like, I always have to think, what are people going to fucking say? So I wrote on my Instagram, I wonder if my kids will remember me because I never get photos of them. A nice gentleman was walking by and offered to take a picture.
Can we stop right there? But prior to cell phones, like there wasn't very many pictures anyways.
Do you know what's not in my office? I have a whole cabinet with about 40 fucking...
So you definitely had to be a person that like carried around a camera and like my parents didn't... Like cameras were expensive. They were expensive. It wasn't like they were cheap.
Right.
You had to buy a film, go like...
My parents had a video camera. I have none of that.
Yeah. Well, so prior to cell phones,
anyways,
either.
No fucking excuse. You have a phone in your pocket, pull it out.
They're going to know who you are. And
you have a phone in your pocket, pull it out and take a picture.
No.
Anyways.
I'm not falling for the trap.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I said, so here's what we're not going to do. Yes, you, the one reading this, we are not going to comment about my kids negatively. Who the fuck does that anyway? But you do. We are not going to make comments about my husband in a negative fashion. And well, we're not going to talk about my frizzy beach hair, but for real. Let's stop with the bullshit of saying stupid shit and try not commenting anything at all. Or how about something positive? I focus on what I do want in my life, not what I don't want. But for some of you, well, you just don't get it. And then you wonder why you're miserable. What you give out, you get back double. One of my favorite comments that I got was this what you give out, you get back double doesn't work for me at the casino. Any advice? I thought it was so cute. I have over 10,000 comments on this photo. And I want to A, thank you guys very much. Because out of 10,000 plus comments, 10,000 plus comments were positive. And I think we all, including myself, need a reminder every once in a while to reel it back in. Because when I look at pictures too, I'm like, dude, that outfit is hideous. What is she thinking? But that doesn't mean I'm going to type that, right? We all have an opinion. And I think social media has given people, you know, some really liquid courage per se behind the computer screen to sit here and comment negatively and say mean things. It does affect my children. So when I post, I don't really give a if you guys like my tits or not, or if my nose is too big or my wig looks terrible. Like, I genuinely don't care. My husband loves it. I love, my kids don't care. But my girls see it, right? And they're 23 and 18, and Ariana's a little bit more vulnerable. So I am treading very lightly on social media. I want to share 5 pictures a day. I have so much I want to share, like just goofy things. And I love including you guys in my life. You have made me, you know, who I am today. And I love your support. And so I literally feel like, first of all, I didn't ask anybody if I should post this, if I should write this, meaning my husband or my kids, Brielle, like, should I say this or not? I just was laying in bed and like, I want to share this with you guys, but please not do, let's just not with the negativity. And it was wonderful and it was great. And it was great to not have to like worry about the comments, and everybody's like, this is a great post. And so thank you, because I know that we can all do it. You guys, I have a podcast to convey to you guys what I feel when I get positive or negative comments, but a lot of other people don't. You have no idea how you're affecting other people and what they're going through. Like, people go through shit. Like, nobody's life is perfect. So you have no idea if that one comment may push that person over the edge. So anyhow, that's my lesson for the week. And I want to thank you guys for real. Over 10,000 comments that were literally so positive and so funny. That's the other thing too. I was saying, they're like, just turn your comments off. And I had to do that on a previous post. Vanessa Bryant nominated me to post a black and white photo, women empowering other women. She sent me a really sweet DM and, you know, she's amazing. And I said, Vanessa Bryant, thank you for the nomination. You know, here's my picture basically or whatever. The picture looks pretty dope in color. Black and white's not as great, I don't think. But anyways, I posted it. Vanessa Bryant didn't, you know, ask you to, or didn't nominate you. And I just turned my comments off, because it's like, the whole post is about empowering women, mm-hmm. empowering other women. I have some of the most incredible friends, you guys, that I can ask beauty questions to, or advice, mother, plastic surgery, friendship, whatever, it doesn't matter. I have some of the greatest support system around. And it's women supporting women. And so that I turned off my comments because the comments were so disgusting. And then I was like, either I'm just not going to post for a while, or I'm just going to let people know, like, listen, this is my family. These are my kids. Take that in consideration. And it worked. So right. I think that social media is a blessing and a curse, but I do enjoy talking to you guys, and you guys help me out. If I have a question about like, how do you help a bee sting, or what color hair should I do? I love all of your help. Like, I have 3+ million people that engage and give me their advice or their opinion on things. What a blessing.
Right.
What a fucking blessing.
And so much fun.
It's so much fun. Corey and I will cry like this when she said, well, this doesn't work for me at the fucking casino. Any advice? And it's like, well, girl, I hear you. I've been there, done that too. I get it. I don't know. I'm still working on it. But it's really a lot of fun. We cry laughing with you guys. So anyhow, I just wanted to thank you on that. Okay, on that note, you guys, let's talk about this. I will read this email because it's very fitting at this time. This is, subject is, I'm sorry. Good morning. This is to Kim at Kim Zolciak. I stumbled across your podcast today and I've been listening to it while working from home this morning. I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry you get so much heat from people who honestly don't know you. Thank you for being a beacon of light and giving people hope. It's hard out here right now and people are... And the majority are struggling. So this podcast really helped me this morning. I wish you and your family a very happy and amazing day. Thought that was nice.
Very sweet.
Here's the other thing I try to do, right? And not be fake about it, right? I try to make like somebody's day, whether it's with a sweet comment that I genuinely think or feel. Like my friend Gretchen posted the other day and she looks so beautiful. I was like, God, she looks gorgeous, right? But like, I'm so busy and I put my phone down. I was like, no, I'm going to tell her real quick. Took me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to make somebody's day or helping make somebody's day is also very positive.
Spreading joy.
Spreading
cheer.
Joy is, yeah. Okay. Croy, has there ever been a time that I should have apologized and I didn't? Think about it while I read this email from a Navy family. Just listen to your recent podcast, and I love it as always. So about dating, quote unquote, sorry, never do it. You're supposed to apologize, quote unquote, by saying I'm sorry. It's admitting that you're a sorry person. You're lowering yourself and your character when you're really not a sorry person. You're human. By saying I apologize means you accept fault or have concern for what they're going through. It's taking ownership and simply moving on. I learned this while I was in boot camp when joining the Navy. I don't know why my dad didn't learn that. He was in the fucking Navy 25 plus years. It stuck with me forever. Love you guys. Love your realism and love you guys as parents. Your parents with boundaries, but still allow them to be kids and grow into their own beings. P.S. Croy, dirt is way different, buddy, than sand.
That sure is true.
Yes,
it is.
So, I'm not saying it. It's not happening.
You're not apologizing.
I'm not doing either. I'm not saying I'm sorry or I'm not saying I apologize.
Why?
I don't like how I feel when I do that.
Why? What do you feel?
Fucking rage. So, Bert, this is for you, baby.
Why?
Because most of the time I'm just not sorry.
So you can just go around hurting people?
No, but if I said you're a asshole, Croy, right? Like in that moment, you're a. I'm not sorry I called you a because you're an asshole in the moment. I'm not sorry for that.
Well, okay, that's okay that you felt that way. But like you said, you just got done saying if you have a negative comment, don't say it at all. Like just because you think it doesn't mean that you should say it or behave that
way
or treat somebody.
I'm talking in a comment. I'm not talking about a husband. Okay, so when the fuck do you think I should have said I'm sorry?
I can't think of a specific time.
Because there's not one.
I'm sure there's more.
Oh, no, there is. Because Croy's biggest thing is like, you didn't say I'm sorry. Like, you have yet to say I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, it's been 10 years and it's not coming anytime soon. I'm working on it. Bert, you guys know from the Bert Show, he was like, hey, so Kim, you want an apology from your parents, but you're never willing to give one. I found that very interesting. You're very right. My parents are both Tauruses as well. Not that that's anything, but that just we're very stubborn people. I don't want an apology from my parents because I'm past the point of even accepting it or even acknowledging it. Like, it's so far gone. I wanted an apology for so long, and then I just was able to see things for what they are. And you're not even going to believe what my mom fucking just did. But anyways.
So if you're...
Actually, my mom called into the Bert Show at one point. That really pissed me off. That was one of the five things that added up for me to stop talking to her.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bunch of them. So... That was kind of a not necessarily a good example because you may not – like your behavior may not be like respectful. So I guess you kind of are wrong, quote unquote wrong with your behavior. But like if
I can
actually,
say mean things.
If you're actually wrong, like what your mom's behavior was wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So she should definitely apologize for her behavior. So I mean if you're yelling at me, you're a fucking ass, like that would be – your behavior would be what you'd be apologizing for. Not what you said. It's the way that you conveyed like you shouldn't treat somebody that way, right? So that's what you should apologize
for. Yeah, I do lose sight of that when I'm angry.
It's not about what you said. You definitely like – you – I was probably being – like
– You what?
I probably was being an asshole, right? Like I was
very
doing something
rarely.
That was.
You've gotten a little bit tougher in these later years.
We're just using
years.
This as an example.
You used to say I'm sorry.
I still do. I'll be the first one.
I think,
and we can have Brielle and Ariana come up here and.
Oh, good. Get them up.
But they're gonna team up against me. I guarantee it because it's just female.
Oh yeah.
Power over here, but I'll be the first one out of this entire family, the first one out of this family to admit fault when I'm at fault. I'll say, man, I fucked up, I'll just say, like, yeah, like, I made a mistake.
You know what's funny? I know how when Croy would say, like, I'm sorry or whatever, right? It would be like, oh, my God, that's so sweet. So I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to say I'm sorry next time I'm like, you know, I'm a fucking hothead. My mouth has gotten me to where I am today, but it's also gotten me in trouble. And I know that, like, I'm just so... you know, quick to pop off at the mouth. And so at time, but like at the, I'm not saying you're an asshole if you're not being an asshole. So I,
that's not true either.
That's oh, no, good. I don't just make shit up in my head.
Sometimes I think you do.
Oh, no.
I mean, I think everybody does. Like, somebody will
Corey
do something.
Corey keeps saying that every time, like, the day before my period, that I'm, like, psycho nuts. I've never really had PMS. He's like, is it that day again? And it's like, shut up. Like, shut up. You try going through it, especially after six kids.
We all wake up on the wrong side of the bed. At some point, we all have, you know, irritabilities. I think...
You have literally said to me at least 20 times, you never say I'm sorry.
20 times?
No, maybe 10.
I don't even know if that's 10 times.
We get along amazing unless Mercury's retrograde.
Right.
We really don't have like a problem. Corey's easy moving. Like I get everything I want for dinner. In fact, sometimes I'm annoyed because it's like, I don't want to pick dinner tonight.
So, but then I'll say, okay, we're doing this now. You want to do this now?
Pizza or pasta?
No. Well, Caitlin, you got to pick.
Corey's very easy moving, and I'm the one that's like a creature of habit. So anyways, Bert, thank you for the you're right. You pointed out a very valid point that I wanted. I'm sorry for my parents, but at some point, but I'm not willing to do it myself. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, look, and I think apologies can be a two-way street.
If I don't feel it, I'm not doing it.
Right, but... I also fully understand that, like, I can't control anybody, right? I can't.
Oh, I think I can't
control you from being an asshole. I can't control you from making that wrong mistake. Nor can I control you to quote unquote owe me an apology. And if I let that non apology get to me or bother me, then you're letting it affect your vibration, and you're letting it become a bump in your path to wherever you're going, because it's gonna eat at you, it's gonna bother you, like
no,
like what,
nothing
like you can't. You have to also look at it from like, I can't control people, like, but I also know that I maybe will like guard myself a little bit more around that person if they did something wrong and didn't apologize, or I may have to totally separate myself from that person, or you have to maybe change the way that. You communicate, but to worry about not getting an apology, I mean, if that's going to affect you more than it's going to affect them. Like,
you're pressed sometimes about an apology once in a while.
Well, but what I do think is, I think apologies open the door for growth.
Oh, blah.
And if somebody makes a mistake and is willing to recognize that mistake.
I don't make mistakes. We've talked about this.
Okay. If somebody makes a mistake and they're willing to recognize that mistake, apologize for it, then those two people together can work to move past that situation and then build off of it so that nothing else similar happens, and you can become stronger and more bonded together. But there can also be an unspoken apology too, I think.
Is that a blowjob?
No, that's a spoken one, just spoken differently.
No, what's an unspoken then?
Well, you can see it in people's eyes. You can see it kind of in
this
in
is
the
why
tone.
Everybody's in love with you. Be quiet.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I get it, baby. I get it. I get what you're saying. I need therapy to learn how to say I'm sorry. But it's just not going to happen. But at this present time, I feel like I'm handling life just fine with my wine.
Yeah, well.
Again, are you somebody who binges on sex, drugs, or alcohol? Because we have one of the reasons why, and I feel like you guys are going to be able to relate. Let's jump into a death and a trip to LA, okay? I don't think you guys could even write this shit if we tried. So I get my nails done. I have two people that do my nails, okay? A male and a female. The male's been doing my nails for many years. During COVID, he just stayed in his house. He was very paranoid.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's great. So we found somebody else who's really, really great. She's sweet. She's got a little two-year-old boy. She lives right up the street. And so she would come to the house because she didn't go anywhere else either.
Right.
So she was great. And so she's closer and more convenient or whatever. I break a couple nails at the beach. Shocker. And I'm like, hey, girl, need my nails done, right? Oh, I had a death in the family, so I'm not going to be around for a few days. And right. I'm like, fuck, I go to LA. Yeah, I leave town. I go to LA on Sunday. Like, I have to get my nails done.
She left town.
She left town, and I was coming back from Florida and leaving town the next day right. to LA. So I text my other guy, hey, I need to get, you know, my nails done. Brielle and I, we're headed to LA on Sunday, so I only really basically have Saturday afternoon. Oh, can't do it. So sorry, Kim. I had a surgery. Well, what? Okay. So now, and I'm super fussy. Elective surgery. Right. I'm super fussy.
It's okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Right.
I want to have a surgery every day. I want to have some kind of surgery. Ask Croy. I'm like, Croy, do you think I should do my nose? Wait, what age should I get my facelift? And Croy's like, shut up. Like, basically, you're ridiculous. But I always am like,
right.
Instagram can f*** you up that way, too.
You're like, you didn't tell me. What you have to tell me these things because I have to plan.
Yeah, like, what the f***? So anyways,
He's not available.
I'm in LA and I'm like, you know, Chloe, Sean Legend or whatever did the girls' nails when we were in LA one time. So I text Chloe and I'm like, hey, I need my nails done. I'm going to be in LA tomorrow or whatever, like help. And so she texts me, Sean, I text him, he's booked until Wednesday and I need him done. I leave Wednesday, I think. So Chloe's like, or you can go to this other place. So she gave me a couple other places or whatever. So I called this one place. Everybody's closed, you guys, now, because we just 2 days or 3 days before, all the nail salons, all the hair salons, all of that stuff was shut down. So nothing's open. So I text this number and say, hey, my daughter Brielle and I, or I just said my daughter and I never try to say Brielle's name because it's, you know, Brielle's very different. My daughter and I need our nails done. We're staying here, here, and here. As soon as possible, please let me know. Okay, sure. They call back within a reasonable time. I'm like, hey, you know, I got your information from Chloe. She says you guys are great. We really need our nails done. Oh, no problem. Sure. Absolutely. We're going to send our best people. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
You guys, are you ready for this? What cost me in Atlanta, and I bring my own acrylic and my own gel for my toes because I'm that fussy, cost me, I think, like $65 or $75 for my fingernails and I think $55 for my toes.
Right.
Cost me $400 for my nails. Brielle, $400 for her nails. I wondered this. Do people think like, oh, Kim, yeah, because I DM'd from my Instagram originally. Right. Oh, yeah, she's got money. She's going to pay it. I did pay it. But here's what happened after that. Prior to them showing up, they texted me and said, we're going to run the credit card for the payment. And what would you like to tip? And I was like, the $800 for fingernails and some two pedicures that are obviously not very like pedicures, like in a little, just basically a polish change. And now you want a tip. And they said, yeah, most people tip 20%. You want fucking $160 tip. And I tip, I was a waitress. I tip and take care of my people. I'm big on that. I said, well, I'll let you know what I'm going to tip when it's all over. Are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
So I asked Chloe, like, are they fucking nuts? And she's like, yeah, that sounds a little fucking crazy, Kim. But so after they were done, I got a text about 10 minutes later. What would you like to tip? I didn't fucking respond. My nails look amazing. I loved my two girls that came. And how much are they getting paid? Use my product.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I was flabbergasted.
Corey's like, so wait, I just saw a charge for $800 from a nail salon. Is that accurate? And we're like, yeah. He's like, okay, great. Sounds good. Brielle, you getting Swarovski crystals on every fucking nail or what are you doing? Like, very bizarre, right? And I'm very basic. I don't get nail art. We don't have any nail art. We don't have any fucking diamonds, rhinestones, no, nothing
it's
on our nails.
Standard. It's the
$800.
Basic.
I'm basic as fuck with my own acrylic and my own gel.
Yeah.
It kind of pissed me off, but then I looked at it and said, you know what? I'm grateful, and I'm going to make these last me 3 weeks, and I'll see one of my people, one of my male or female that I usually see. Right. So it was very alarming. Get a phone call from Tracy, you guys. Let's jump to this real quick. I get a phone call from Bloom. Now, I fuck with Bloom a lot. I told you guys I'm trying to establish boundaries where I don't show her my tits or anything like that. Or, you know, she doesn't, like, do a little tongue with the finger, you know, do the peace sign, stick her tongue. Like, we're trying to be a little bit more professional. It's not working. But I get a phone call from her on her day off last week. So, hey, I'm like, yeah. And usually I get the Cannon questions when she's not here. Like, Cannon has a bloody nose or, well, he's never had a bloody nose. But, like, Cannon fell and his knee's bleeding or he's screaming and I can't get him to stop. So Cannon's like over two now, so those aren't as common as they once were.
Right.
And she's like, so, hey, what's up? I'm like, what's popping? She's like, I think I found you 10 cases of cake bread. 2013. Bloom, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm not in the mood for your jokes. Now, if you heard the podcast, and I think I mentioned how we were in Destin and I ran out of wine, 2015 cake bread, or 2015 cake bread. I was done. So Brielle had gone to the liquor store and bought a couple bottles.
Well, way, way back. So we had just randomly one day gotten cake bread. You used to drink Farniente and some different Chardonnays.
Don't go buying all the fucking cake bread, you guys.
Right. Well, they can't because it's in our basement. But so you tried that. And then randomly, I think I had ordered a bottle of it and I didn't realize that I had ordered the reserve of it because they have the standard cake bread.
Like the reserve.
And they make the reserve.
Right.
They have a reserve. And it happened to be the year of 2013. You're like, oh, my God, I love this, right? And
I either love or hate it, right? Like, I either love my hair color or I hate it. I either love this wine or I hate it. I either love these pants or I hate them. There's no middle ground for me.
So, literally, from probably 2015 or 14, later part of 14 to, I would say, end of 2018.
We were
buying up 2013 across the entire country.
When I tell you, we had 49 cases delivered to my house at one point. Brandon, my assistant at the time, who's f-ing driving me nuts today, Brandon. But anyways, he found like 49 cases. And his sole job, day after day, month after month, was to...
And only 2013. So we would have to call these people or we would look online and it would say 2013, but then we would call them.
And like, sorry, 2014. And I really don't care for 2014, to be honest. I didn't like it. It's the
each
only year
vintage
I didn't like.
Had a different flavor. So
I love 2013. So I had everybody on the hunt. I had my waiter downtown at Aria restaurant looking. I always had everybody on the hunt for this. Right. Yeah. So finally, I ended up getting 40 cases, the last 40 cases in the country right before our road trip. No, 40 bottles.
40 bottles.
40 bottles before our road trip. And our road trip was like 40 days. So it was like, oh, thank God, a bottle a day in that fucking RV. And so I got home. I had a couple bottles left and I finished them and then was pretty irritated. And then I found 2015 and I was like, oh, this is great. So I kind of got onto 2015 and I've been really enjoying that. Now it's impossible to get 2015. So I finished up my very last 2015 in Destin, Florida. So Brielle had went and got regular cake bread, some Farniente. She got me all these different Chardonnays and I fucking was miserable. It actually put me in a very bad mood. And drinking drinking red wine in general at the beach is kind of weird, I think. So unless it's nighttime.
Yeah,
That's what I did. So I get home and I have a 2016 bottle that's been in the wine cellar for a while. And Corey's like, just try it. Well, I don't know if I tried it and loved it because the other shit I tasted all week was terrible. But I was like, I can do this. So all of a sudden, I send Brielle, Zach, and Colin on the hunt for wine. 2016 cake bread. I want you guys to know this. Ready? Check this out. I'm not going to say what locations because I don't want to get these people in trouble. But I called Total Wines, I think is what it's called. And I said, hey, there's like, I don't know, tons of them here. Hey, how many cases of cake bread do you have? Oh, I have X, Y, and Z. 6. Oh, okay, great. I'm on my way. Sure. Sounds good. See you soon. Hey, how many cases do you have? Oh, I have 6. Great. See you soon. How many do you have? Hold on 1 second, ma'am. Oh, sorry, ma'am. It's one bottle a day limit per person.
We have six or seven, but I can only sell you one.
One bottle. I said one bottle?
Wait, what?
And she's like, yeah, one bottle. So Brielle, Colin, and Zach, they come home with like 8 cases. Before I go online, I hang up the phone with this lady and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And I'm like, I wonder if you can order this shit online. So I go to their website and I order it online and I order 2 cases. So Brielle has 7 in her trunk. She pulls up to pick up my order and they're like, did you just call like a couple hours ago? And Brielle's like, no. And they're like, because we made it very clear that you're only allowed to have one bottle.
But we see an order online for 2.
But we see an order online for 2 cases. And we're going to make the exception because we buy a lot of liquor from this place. We're going to make the exception for you guys. Thank you for your business. Let's put it in the trunk. Brielle's like, no, I don't want it in the trunk. Put it in the back seat. Back seat. No, I'll put it in the trunk. No problem. Just pop the back. No problem. Brielle's locking her car. And they're like, dude, what? There's 8 cases sitting back there. And they're probably going to be like, this bitch is crazy. Brielle gets home. She's like, I'm never doing that shit for you again. Never. So it was kind of funny. So I have enough wine to get me through. Tracy says she's found 2013.
But help me understand, what business
doesn't want to sell? They said it's right in such high demand, which is probably because I opened my fat mouth on the podcast.
I'm not buying that. and you're literally turning down sales. Like that's the worst business practice possible.
Nobody, I know.
Like you're not selling something for an unknown reason.
It's
like,
fucking bizarre.
You have somebody who wants to buy something and you're turning it down.
So Opus 1, which is the red wine that I love, of course. I know it's expensive, but I just love it and I don't ever have a hangover or headache from it or whatever. But I got the last basically few cases left in Georgia until December. And so, and I only drink that like on occasion. It's not something that like I crave or want or whatever. It's Chardonnay's like light and airy and makes me extremely happy. So Tracy's like, I think I have 10 cases. And I'm like, Bloom, I'm like not in the mood for fucking jokes, you know? She's like, no, I'm dead serious. And she said, Kim, for the last 6 months, every day, I have she's so sweet, you guys. I have tried to join every elite wine club in America. Every day I have spent trying to get you 2013 wine. I have spent every day.
That's funny.
Every day that I'm outside on the patio that you think I'm being shady, basically, I'm actually calling for your fucking wine. But I have you 10 cases. Do you want them? I'm like, Corey's like, are you sure they're 2013?
Right.
Like, did we confirm?
Did we get pictures of the bottle?
Yeah, did we get pictures of the bottle? Because a lot of times we order 2013 and 2014 shows up.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, we promise, yeah. Blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then they'll open up the thing and it's not even close.
Tracy says, I got it for you. I didn't believe it. Okay, sure. Here's my credit card. It's expensive, you guys. Like I said, Corey, like, I'm buying it all. He's like, of course you f-ing are, right? It's expensive. So a case for Opus is 6 bottles. And so in my mind, cake bread was 6 bottles per case, but it's actually 12. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So I am f-ing over the moon. So I don't believe it. I let it go, right? I mentally let it go. On my podcast paperwork last week, it says, please ask everyone for 2015 cake bread Chardonnay. Tracy comes to work on Monday. She says it's going to be overnighted Monday. It'll be here Tuesday. And I show her on my podcast paperwork, look, I didn't even address this really. Or maybe I did. I don't remember. But, yeah. You know, I was going to ask people to, like, please help me because you guys are so great. There's a lot of people in Jersey and New York and stuff that will find it. And so I was so devastated. I think I did ask you guys because I was, like, so miserable without it. And so Tracy's like, that's so amazing. And she's like, ask, believe, receive. And I'm like, fuck you, Tracy, right? Tuesday. The doorbell rings, but we get packages a lot, you know, and so whatever. I walk by and we order Penta water a lot. And so there's always cases and cases of that. And so I saw like tons of boxes and I'm like, dude, what the f*** is that? So I just told our housekeeper, I was like, yeah, it's just Penta water. She's like, yeah, I figured. And so I'm like, wait, those are weird boxes. So I got there and it says f***ing cake bread on the label. And I was literally screaming and my nanny was like just laughing her ass off. She's like, I know what that is. And she's, and so then I said, I got to open it, Zalma, because I got to make sure it's 2013. When I sent Tracy a picture with me holding 2013, I had like butterflies. I was running through the fucking house like I had just won $300 million on Mega Millions or something. So I am happy as shit. I feel like I'm in such a, and I think the quarantine has done this for me and just slowed me down quite a bit to where I'm totally in tune with like literally ask, believing and receiving and like really actually doing it and believing it and letting things go. One of my biggest things is asking for what I want and then worrying about it and not letting it go. And then, you know, that kind of thing. So I've been manifesting so quick. This is nothing short of a miracle. I'm so happy. I love you, Tracy Bloom, with or without my wine, but I really appreciate your effort. I'm very happy. Tracy knows I am one happy. Yesterday I opened the bottle and I said, bitch, it's 1 o'clock, 2013. And she's like, do you love it? Corey said, does it taste the same? It is my favorite. So anyways, super, super happy about that. On a side note, you guys, I finally am wearing my glasses. On a side note, I went and got glasses and finally went to the eye doctor. They were $2,500. I brought the glasses. They just did the lenses and it was $2,500. Is that not insane? For 3 pairs of glasses. She said my prescription was minimal.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a little insane.
I brought the glasses. Yeah. They were brand new. Yeah. I got them, you know, I told you guys about.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm wearing the glasses and they're actually really helpful. So anyway. All right. Are you someone who binges on sex, drugs, and alcohol? Because guess what? We have maybe one of the reasons why. You ready? And reading this stuff to you guys and with the boundaries and the, you know, being empathic has actually helped me and has made me really be grateful for being empathic, but yet also being able to manage it. So The trademark of an empath is feeling and absorbing other people's emotions and or physical symptoms because of their high sensitivities. These people filter the world, this is huge, through their intuition and have a difficult time intellectualizing their feelings.
Their own feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
So Croy, as I don't feel Croy is empathic. I feel like...
I'm empathic. You think that you have more empathy than I do.
I don't think you're empathic. Absolutely not.
Having empathy,
you can go to sleep anywhere. You can just being empathic is like I can't sleep a lot because I'm thinking and like worrying and you know doing all these things and oftentimes feeling other people's energy. No, so if we go to like a concert or something, right? And like some ladies like Celine Dion, the lady next to me is crying, and that's not being empathic. But go ahead, let me finish your statement, sir.
Well, no, I think having empathy for somebody is completely different than being empathic. I genuinely think that I'm empathic because empathic people know how to follow their gut intuition. Like you.
Being empathic is taking on other people's emotions, feelings, thoughts, actions. Watch this.
Right.
The people filter the world through their intuition and have a difficult time intellectualizing their own feelings. As a psychiatrist and empath, she writes, I know the challenges of being a highly sensitive person. This is Brielle, very much so, and myself. When overwhelmed with the impact of stressful emotions, empaths may experience panic attacks, depression, chronic fatigue, food, sex, and drug binges, or exhibit many other physical symptoms that defy traditional diagnosis. But empaths can learn how to center themselves so they don't feel too much or become too overloaded. The first step is to acknowledge that you are an empath, and here are the top 10 traits of an empath. From the Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. I am this person 100%.
All right, let's see. Name them out and I'll say yes or no.
And okay, cool. Empaths are naturally giving, spiritually open, and good listeners. If you want heart, empaths have it. Through thick and thin, these world-class nurturers will be there for you, but they can easily have their feelings hurt too. Empaths are often told that they are too sensitive and need to toughen up.
You have two of the three.
Really?
Yeah.
What don't I have?
I'm not saying what you do and don't have, but I think you have two of the three. So that's pretty good.
We're not having sex tonight. Two, empaths absorb other people's emotions. Empaths are highly attuned to other people's moods, good or bad. They feel everything, sometimes to an extreme. They take on negativity such as anger or anxiety, which can be exhausting for them. If they are around peace and love, though, their bodies take these on and flourish. Me.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think you're pretty good at blocking that stuff out, though. I think you've done
I've learned the last year, because it's affected my health, to do that. I've learned that from you, because you're just a dick. No. You've talked about it. No. Like, Croy's like, I love that. I'm like the extreme of Croy, I feel like, and so I'm trying to find a middle, and because of Croy and him being so extreme, it's enabled me to really find, I feel like, a happy medium. But Croy's really sweet too, but I'm definitely have so much empathy for people. It's f-ing really not been good or healthy. Yeah.
Well, anyhow. I think I got a better filter for filtering out people's BS. Mm-hmm. And I think I know.
I fucking believe everyone like a dumbass.
Right.
Many empaths are introverted. Empaths become overwhelmed in crowds, which can amplify their empathy. They tend to be introverted and prefer one-on-one contact or very small groups.
That's both of us.
Even if an empath is more extroverted, they may prefer to limit how much time they spend in a crowd or at a party.
Right.
Totally. But yeah. Four, empaths are highly intuitive. Empaths experience the world through their intuition. That's my life every single day. It is important for them to develop their intuition and listen to their gut feelings about people, which I'm not good at because like it's my gut intuition is not telling me that you're a lying sack of shit, right? Because I say to myself, like, why are you saying these things to me if they're not true? Or why are you acting like you're giving me this great deal on this new car or this new house or whatever, and you're not? So I believe what people tell me. And so because I believe what people tell me, it's almost blocked out my intuition because I just believe what you're telling me. So I've learned through Croy to not believe everything people say because fucking people lie.
My intuition's very good with people.
Oh, dead
on. Situations. And your intuition is much better with just your life and the direction and the choices. Like you're very good at following your gut as far as like business decisions or family decisions. Like you know – you're kind of the rudder per se. Like
I know that if my hair, right. If well, my hairdresser,
I don't think we should go here tonight, and we don't go there, right? Or I don't think we should do this, then we don't do it. I think we should do this, then we do it. You know what I mean? Like your intuition is very good at for our family.
Right.
And I think mine is more tailored towards
Croy, like, has nailed
people.
Every fucking person that Brielle's ever dated, Ariana's ever dated, people that I've worked with or for, people he works with or for, and it's still true several years later. It's hysterical. Anyways, super important that we avoid energy vampires. Number five, empaths need alone time. As super responders, empaths find being around people can be so draining, so they periodically need time alone to recharge. Even a brief escape prevents emotional overload. For example, empaths like to take their own cars when they go places so they can leave when they please.
Right.
My sweet Ariana. She's like, Brielle, I'm not fucking riding with you anywhere. Okay, I want to listen to my fucking music, and I want to leave when I want to leave. Six, empaths can become overwhelmed in intimate relationships. Too much togetherness can be difficult. This is not true for Corey and I. Well, for me, anyway. For an empath, so they may avoid intimate relationships. Deep down, they're afraid of being engulfed and losing their identity. For empaths to be at ease in a relationship, the traditional paradigm for being a couple must be redefined. Seven, empaths are targets for energy vampires. This is me. I have so many motherfucking energy vampires, and some need them. Some need me right now, you know, for sure. But others are just needy. And Corey's like, you don't owe her anything, right? I know you're tired. What are you doing? Go to bed. Seven, empaths are targets, like I said, for energy vampires. And empath sensitivity makes them particularly easy marks for energy vampires, who fear or rage can zap their energy and peace of mind. These vampires may do more than drain an empath's physical energy, especially dangerous ones such as narcissists who lack empathy and are only concerned with themselves, can make empaths believe they're unworthy and unlovable. Other vampires include the victim, the chronic talker, the drama queen, and more. Eight, empaths become replenished in nature. The busyness of everyday life can be too much for empaths. The natural world nourishes and restores them. It helps them release their burdens, and they can take refuge in the presence of green things, the ocean, or other big, large bodies of water. That's me 100%. Empaths have highly tuned senses. Their nerves can get frayed by noise, smell, or excessive talking. This is f***ing Brielle and I to a T. If you're too loud, don't come fucking near me. 10. Empaths have a huge heart but give way too much. Empaths are big-hearted people and try to relieve the pain of others. And homeless person holding a cardboard "I'm hungry" sign at a busy intersection, a hurt child, a distraught friend. It's natural to want to reach out to help these people and ease their pain. But empaths don't stop here. Instead, they take it on. Suddenly, they're feeling drained and upset when they feel fine before. As an empath, I usually use many strategies to protect my sensitivity, such as a fierce time management, setting limits and boundaries with people who are draining, meditation to calm and center yourself, and going out in nature. I find being an empath a gift, but you have to learn to take care of yourself. And I'm just learning this at 42, I swear to God. Empaths have special needs. If you're one of us, it's important to honor your needs and communicate them to your loved ones. I'll say to Corey, like, I'm really tired. Like, I'm just exhausted and I'm tired. And I didn't really do all that much that day, right? I didn't have big meetings, or I didn't even do my makeup and hair. It wasn't an overly packed day. And I'm like, dude, I had two friends text me, you know. I've had one of my dear friends, who I love dearly and spent my life 11 years, just text me yesterday and said she beat cancer. And so I was so excited about that. But I've been dealing with that and, like, thinking about her and I, you know, just what she's going through. And it's breast cancer. So all these things that she's going through with reconstructive surgery and that kind of thing. So, I love doing that for her, and I love helping her because she's been so helpful to me. And even if she wasn't helpful to me, I just adore her. So that does kind of drain me and kind of leave me, like, you know, concerned. Even KJ yesterday, I said, hey, guess what? She beat cancer. And he's like, that's awesome, Mom. She's a big part of our whole family. But I love doing that. I also have another friend that texts me crazy shit like, you know, I'm in the hospital, or I'm fucking sick today, or I think I'm dying, or, and I haven't heard from her in, you know, 6 months or something. And it's like, oh my God, what happened? And I get into this, and then it takes up my whole night. And I have learned myself finally at 42 years old that when I die, I said this to Corey last night, because I haven't brought my kids to any birthday parties. And I know people are probably pissed at me that I haven't brought them to these kids' birthday parties, but I'm just not trying to do all that. I feel like it's just too much for me and my family at this time. But I also said to Corey last night, you know what? I don't even feel bad, actually, not going to these birthday parties. They've been invited to probably 10.
Right.
Because when I die, I'm never going to say I never went to Jason's birthday party with KJ or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, I'm never going to say that. I'm going to say I wish I fucking went out to dinner one last time with my family or whatever, you know? So I've really learned to you have to learn to be selfish. I feel like it, to me, it feels selfish to try to choose yourself. Corey spent all day on the computer Saturday, which I yelled at him about, by the way. but because he did that, I was in my room listening to Garth Brooks loud as f***. And Corey, you know what KJ said to me? You have a $10,000 stereo system in this house. Okay, I wish. It was only $10,000. $10,000 stereo system in this house. And you're using that piece of shit radio over there. I cried laughing. But I organized a lot of the bathroom and closet and that kind of thing. And I had time to myself, and it was so fun, but I still yelled at Croy, like, you know, I'm sick of your shit. I want him to put the cold tub together for me, and like, so I can get back in the cold tub. It's all cleaned and perfect. He spent like 9 hours on it. That pissed me off Friday night. Saturday, he was on the computer for 7 hours. That pissed me off because he wasn't with me for 7 hours. But anyways, it's all good. Because I did have that kind of alone time to like recharge and kind of organize, and it makes me feel good to be organized. But anyways, if you're turning to sex, drugs, and alcohol, and other things, you know, this is probably binging one of the reasons. Yeah, if you're binging on them, it's one of the reasons probably why. I do find that like a glass of wine for me kind of allows me to disconnect and have fun, but I don't get sloshed. Like, I'm not only at Post Malone's concert on Muscle Relaxers do I act stupid, you know? But I don't get sloshed like that. Like, I just have my glass of wine and I unwind. But I have a husband who's got kind of a dick, like, not a dick, but like able to like, no, not, I'm actually not going to do that. Or I got an email today and from a very nice friend, and I'm so excited about what we're going to be doing. And Croy's like, you just fucking feel bad. You're not even excited. You just feel bad for the person. Like, get your emotion out of it. He's yelling from his office. Get your emotion out of it. And I'm like, because I do want everybody happy.
Well,
and
yeah, I think.
But then me giving to all these people has drained me at times.
Right. So the moral of the story is, if you're binging, you need to find time more sporadically to unplug and recharge your own batteries so that you can be aware of kind of how much of other people's crap you're letting affect you.
Right.
And so, but I think back to your statement where, you know, the emotion and things like that and wanting, of course, we want to treat people with respect. We treat people kindly. We love people, and people in our lives all have a part to where we're headed. And so it's not that we lack gratitude, but there is a point in time where, again, this goes to boundaries, right? And so I think...
Did your parents have very strong boundaries with you?
I don't know if they were intentional boundaries. Like, I don't think they even maybe necessarily knew that they were establishing these boundaries. I think it was kind of unspoken, you know, like I just knew that I couldn't go into their bedroom per se. Like, that was their space. That was like, and it wasn't like I don't think I was there. I don't remember being told that per se, but that was a boundary that was just like communicate. Like, I felt that boundary. Like,
I wonder why you get pissed when all our kids pile in our bed.
No, I don't get pissed.
No,
well,
I know.
But
if you're like, get off the bed, stop. They do somersaults and shit.
There's a point where there's too much playfulness. You know, like our bedroom is not to be played in, you know. Like,
and then I would stand there and let them continue to do somersaults, make a fucking total mess of my bed, be pissed off later on, knock off all the trim and all the bullshit because we have a canopy. And then I'd be pissed off later on, but I want them to have fun, so I'll let them do it.
Right.
That's the difference between Kim and Croy.
Right. So I think I did.
A mother and a father. I don't know.
I think I learned boundaries without even knowing that I was like learning boundaries. But again, yeah, like you can still feel for people, help people, encourage people, be kind, all those things, and then set a boundary where, you know, this is as far as I can go, you know, or this is as much as I can help, for now or forever, just depending on the situation, you know, like I can only do so much. And a lot of times very empathic people can lose that boundary and go too far. And then that's what we said causes you to have to like decompress with binging on something. Just set those boundaries.
So if you're binging, like I said, on sex, drugs or alcohol,
enjoy it and then settle.
Enjoy it and then, yeah. And if you're empathic, don't feel bad because it's almost like your release.
Right. And yeah, like I guess, again, this goes back to a previous podcast where we discussed embracing the awkwardness. Like it can be awkward telling people no. Like, and a lot of times people aren't, they're not used to hearing that word, you know, or they just... People avoid things, or they handle situations differently, and it's okay to just say no, I can't, or this is what I can do. or this is what needs to be
well,
done.
Well, coming from somebody last night that I was trying to like negotiate shit for and do stuff, and Corey's like, you just keep pushing them. They've done so much. And it's like, well, let's just see if they can fucking do more. And guess what? They called this morning. They could do more. So it's like there's always – I think our marriage is very successful because we are so opposite in everything.
Possibly.
From food.
But we're not really. We're really not that opposite.
You – Corey.
We are, but we're really not. I promise.
We're both really good in bed. So that's not opposite, right? We're both pretty funny. I'm funny. I'm more funny. More funny.
Yeah.
Don't you think? We're
I think we have two different senses of humor, which...
Please. Which I'm funny. You're borderline.
I didn't say you're not funny.
Oh, should I ask the girls if you're funny? No, you're pretty funny. You'll say things like, there's this lady that's been a real bitch to me lately. And I was like, I just want to see what she looks like, right? Because I don't know what she looks like. So I Google her name. And I'm like, look at her. And she's exactly what I pictured her to look like. And he's like, she looks like she's been in the fucking desert with no water for 2 weeks. And I fucking needed him to say that. It was very great. But anyway, so anyways, ease up on the fucking drugs and alcohol, you guys, and just run for the sex because it's safer, I feel like, if you're with your partner.
Or spread it out.
Or spread it out. Or spread your legs. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you guys. So anyways, this podcast has gone on so long. I have an appointment that I need to head to. I want to tell you guys that my mother texted my daughter's friend, and you're not even going to believe why. We'll talk about this next week on next week's podcast, you guys. If you have any questions, you can email kim@kimzolciak.com or you can call 323-213-8100. Leave us a message or a text. Let us know what you want to hear, what you think. Should we take fan phone calls? Like, we're open to everybody's suggestion and kind of what you guys are looking for. So share. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of House of Kim.
Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to House of Kim with Kim Zolciak Bierman. Catch new episodes every Wednesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show, don't forget to leave a rating and review.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.